First Chronicles, chapter number 22, starting at verse number 5. Brother Kyle, do you have it? Okay, let's go ahead and read that, please. Nope, you can have, everyone have a seat, please. We got a lot of reading to do. So if you want to stand, you can, but you're going to be standing for a long time. Starting at verse number 5.
And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender.
Uh-huh.
And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical.
Magnifical. Come on, you got to say it like that.
Magnifical.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
Of fame and of glory throughout all countries.
Uh-huh.
I will therefore now make preparation for it.
Okay, hold on. Stop right there. David said it has to be magnifical, exceeding magnifical, and I have to make what? Preparations for. Everyone say preparations. So what did David do? Go ahead and read, please.
So David prepared abundantly before his death.
So he prepared abundantly. He prepared, everyone say abundantly. Before when, though? So don't ever say you're too old to work for God. As long as you're still breathing, you can be doing something in the kingdom of God. He said he prepared abundantly before he died. He worked just as hard before he died, just as much as he was as he was a young man. Different capacities. You don't do the same thing, but you still work just as hard. That's why I love it when I see our elderly that are 70s and 80s and even some 90s still pressing their way to the house of God, still pressing their way to the prayer room, still going around shaking people's hand and encouraging people. Why? Because they know there's a purpose still for them in the kingdom of God. He made preparations abundantly. But why did he make preparations abundantly? Brother Kyle, go ahead and read verse number 6.
Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel.
That's why he prepared. He prepared so that his son can just focus on the building. Okay, some of you are missing that right there. Because we need an older generation in here to work just as hard now, maybe not for your benefit because you may not see it, but for the next generation to see it. Mm-hmm. For the next generation. See, some of you aren't going to see the things that are to come 5-10 years from now, but I don't need you to say, well, I'm not going to see it, so I'm not going to do anything. No, we need your help, your prayers, your expertise, the things that you can do so that the next generation can have it. Amen? All right, good. Verse number 7, go ahead.
And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly.
Blood, abundantly, yep.
And hast made great wars.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days.
Good. Keep on reading. Verse number 10.
He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever.
Forever. Yes. Keep on going.
Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee.
Who is this speaking? David speaking. Who is he speaking this over? His son Solomon. He's speaking unto him. He is speaking blessings into him. He's speaking favor into him. But he's also doing what? Charging him to go forth and to prosper. Okay, verse number 12.
Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments.
Hold on. Read very carefully here, church. You know how we can read very quickly and skip over key points? Okay, if you have your Bibles, you need to underline this word, highlight this word. You need to do whatever you need to do, and that is that word, if. Everyone say if. He says, then shalt thou prosper. How many want to prosper? I think I got half of you to say that. How many want to prosper? He said, thou shalt prosper, but everyone say if. You're going to prosper if you do what? if you take heed and fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses. So he's saying, make sure you keep the commandments. Make sure you keep the law. Make sure you keep and instill the things that I have taught you what to do, how to do it. Why? Because we believe in separation from the world. And as long as you keep yourself separate from the world and you keep the laws and the statutes, you're going to prosper. You're going to be blessed. This is how you're going to do it. You see that? If. And then he says, the Lord charges Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage, dread not. That means don't worry, don't have anxiety, don't be anxious, nor be dismayed. Everyone say amen. Drop down to verse number 19. What does it say, Brother Kyle?
Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God,
mm-hmm.
to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and the holy vessels of God,
mm-hmm.
into the house that is to be built to the name
so
of the Lord.
So he's telling his son now, build. I want you to build, and I want you to build this sanctuary. When you build it, I want you to go get the ark of the Lord and bring it into the house of the Lord. Okay? I want you to go get the ark and go get it. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 5. Brother Kyle, I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 5. Turn there very quickly, starting at verse number 2. It says, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build a house unto the name of the Lord. Now David is gone. Solomon is now speaking unto the people about what he has been instructed by his father. How David, my father, could not build a house unto the name of the Lord, his God, for the wars which were about him on every side unto the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord, my God, hath given me rest on every side. How and why did he give Solomon rest? Because he had a father that fought the wars. He had a father that fought the battles. I wonder, do I have a generation in here that's willing to fight battles not only for yourself but for your children? I wonder, do I have a generation in here that will fight battles for the youth that are sitting on the first row? I wonder, do I have a generation that will fight battles for the young adults that are sitting next to you out here that may be 25 and under? I wonder, do I have 50, 60, 70-year-olds in here, 40-year-olds in here that will fight battles for your children's children and for the next generation of Star City Church to be successful? That means you won't see the success now. That means you won't see it, but you're gonna know that my next generation is gonna have peace because I fought the devils. Oh boy, I hope I'm preaching to the right church in here tonight. Amen. He had rest. He says, but now the Lord thy God has given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent, or that occurrent means evil misfortune. 1 Kings chapter number 8, starting at verse number 1. Turn there very quickly. Brother Kyle, go ahead and read verse number 1.
Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and all the heads of the tribes,
mm-hmm.
the chief of their fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David.
Here we go. Now Solomon's doing what his daddy told him to do. You see this? He's building it. He's going to go get the Ark. He's following the instructions of his father. Very good, okay? That they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Verse number 3. Skip to verse number 3. Go ahead. Start there.
And all the elders of Israel came,
mm-hmm.
and the priests took up the Ark.
Yep.
And they brought up the ark of the Lord,
uh-huh.
and the tabernacle of the congregation,
yep.
and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle.
Slow down here now. Slow down here. They brought the ark and the tabernacle of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all, someone say all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. That means every item, the altar, the laver, the golden candlesticks, table of showbread. They went to go get everything, all the holy vessels. They had to bring it all because it was all important when it comes to the tabernacle. You see this? They brought it all there. He's going to go get it all. Get it all, put it in the temple here. Okay? And so verse number 5, go ahead, start there and read.
and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place.
Yes.
Into the oracle of the house.
Yes.
To the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of their ark.
Yes.
And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above.
Yes. Yes.
And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place.
Verse number nine.
There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb.
Stop right there. We got a problem. And we need to fix this problem. Anyone notice the problem? Verse number nine. Read it one more time. Verse number nine. Read it again.
There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone.
Wait a minute. We have a problem. He's got all the holy vessels. He's got the ark. He's built it. He's got everything ready. He's bringing it back where it should be. He's doing what his father told him to do. And he brings back the ark. He puts it where it needs to go. But the Bible says there's nothing in the ark except for an item. And this item was what? Two tables of stone, which Moses put there. Wait a minute. I think some of you know your Bible. There was more than just that one item in that ark. We have a problem here. We get all the way to this point, and there's some items missing. What's missing in this Ark of the Covenant, of the Ark of the Testimony? What's missing? There's two items missing here. There's Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod was supposed to be in there. There was also supposed to be a pot of manna. It's supposed to be in there. But those two items are missing. All that's in there are two tables of stone. Why would someone take out two items but leave one item? Why would someone take out these items but then leave this item here? Why wouldn't they take them all? Why didn't they take, if they wanted what was in the ark, but because what was in the ark represented the presence of God, the ark represented the presence as well as what was contained in that ark, why wouldn't they take all of it? Why just take two? Well, that's the problem, Brother Kyle. You see that there? You see why we read the Bible real slow. And don't go too fast reading it. Because there's two items missing. You know what the Aaron's rod represented? Thank you for being honest with me. Aaron's rod represented power. It represented authority. You know what the pot of manna represented? It represented provision. You want to know what it also represented? Miracles. It was a miracle that they received manna every single morning. So not only did it represent provision, provision is just food or supplies that in order for you to be sustained, but it also represented miracles. So what they did was they removed power, they removed miracles, but they kept the law. Why? Because we want the power, we want the miracles, but we don't want the law. So they'll take what represented power, they'll take what represented miracles. Oh, but don't commit fornication. I don't want that. Don't commit adultery. Oh, I don't want that. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, I don't want that. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, I don't want that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Oh, I don't want that. Don't have no other God. Oh, I don't want that. But I'll take the power. I'll take the miracles. But don't tell me how to live. You see that? And that's the world that we live in today. We live in today the exact same thing that happened right here that we're reading in the Bible, where they wanted the power, they wanted the miracles, just don't tell me how to live. And that's the world that we live in today. Give me the power, give me the miracles, give me the provision, but just don't tell me how to live, preacher. So what will happen is that people will go from church to church until they can find a church that is conducive to their lifestyle. Because if you don't preach the way I want you to preach, I'll just go to the next church down the road that is conducive to my lifestyle. Because I like the feel, they got the power, they got the miracles, they got the music, and I can live however I want to live. Yep. They don't tell me I can't do this and do that. They don't tell me I can't go there and can't do that. They don't tell me all that stuff. And I still got the spirit here too. So they took out power, they took out miracles, but they left the law. Am I reading this wrong? Was that what we just read, church? They want everything, just no rules. They want everything, just no boundaries. And you and I, my friend, we want the glory of the Lord, but unlike them, they wanted the glory, they just didn't want to be holy. I want glory, no holiness. I want glory, no modesty. I want glory, no sacrifice. And it's the same thing. People will look for a church for political reasons, cultural reasons, but also lifestyle reasons. People would rather go to a church where they don't even necessarily think they fit in culturally, but because that preacher is not saying anything that's contradicting their lifestyle, they'll go there. They'll just go there once a month anyway. They'll go there on Christmas and Easter anyway. They'll go there when they feel like it anyway, because it doesn't matter. Just don't tell me what the Bible says about how to live. And the Bible is a book of how to live. From Genesis to Revelation, it's telling you how to live. Because if you don't want to live the Bible way, trust me, my friend, you will not find yourself walking on streets of gold. So you can sing about it, you can pray about it, you can worship to it, but if you don't have a mindset to live it, you will not make heaven your home. So you can take out the power all you want. You can take the miracles all you want. Matter of fact, God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can set you free. But that doesn't mean you're going to heaven, because you got to have a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord. So you can't leave that law in there. You better take that law out and hold it dear to your heart. So Star City Church, we can't be that way. If we want to be a holy church, if we want to be a sanctified church, if we want to be a God called church, I want the power, I want the miracles, yes, but more importantly, give me holiness, give me separation, give me sacrifice, give me the glory of the Lord. Because you can go without power, you can go without miracles, but you can't go without the glory of the Lord. Amen. All right, I'll try to preach better. So Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 says this. This is what Paul says. Listen, I'll take it over from here, Brother Kyle. I may use you a little bit, but I'm stirred up now. So it says, I beseech you, brethren. Everyone say beseech. You know what Paul is saying here? You know what the word beseech means if he was to look that up? The word beseech means beg. Go search it. The word beseech means beg. He says, I'm begging you. What am I begging you to do? Please present your body a living sacrifice. I am begging you to be holy. I'm begging you to be acceptable unto the Lord. And I'm begging you this because this is just your reasonable service. This is the minimal of what I'm asking you to do. And he says, I'm begging you to live this way. So if we are to present our bodies, everyone say my body. Because it can't be off of your parents' body. It can't be off nobody else's body. It's got to be your body. Amen? It's got to be your body, okay? If you are to present your body a living sacrifice, then I think it's important to start with boundaries. Because the one thing that we struggle with in our homes are boundaries. And if you don't set boundaries, and boundaries are in place so that you don't cross over into the sin. Boundaries are put in place so that you don't even come close to the sin. And that's where we can use parents to help set boundaries. Parents, you can't expect the church to set all the boundaries because you know your children better than I know your children. I can try to instruct you and give you advice on what to do, but every one of our four children, we have different boundaries for all four of them. And those boundaries will continue to evolve and change and move based on their maturity, based on their spirituality. You know their maturity, you know their spirituality, because some people can have a spiritual moments and spirituality moments in church, but they can be very unmature outside of church. I've seen kids speak in tongues at the altar and in the lobby, they're kicking people in the shins. Okay, I guess I'm the only one seeing that then. Because there's a difference between spirituality and maturity. And so therefore, you must set boundaries based off both spirituality and maturity. So parents, hear me and hear me well, that if you have children still living in your home, I don't care what how old they are, but if they're still living in your home, have boundaries in your home. Now, when they leave that home, they got to learn how to set their own boundaries. And they got to learn how to set their own boundaries and do what they need to do in order to make heaven their home. But you got to learn how to set boundaries. So let's just start with music. Amen. So what's your boundary with music? Because your boundary should be, you shouldn't be listening to any music if it's not Christian music. And why would you even listen to other music if it's not Christian music? Because you need to learn how to set a boundary. And if you're not setting a boundary, and if it's non-Christian music, well, where are you going to stop? Oh, well, it doesn't have cuss words in it, but the next song will have cuss words in it. And then the next song will have even more profanity. And then the next song will talk about sexual perversion. And then the next song will talk about drugs. And now all of a sudden you're thinking things that you shouldn't have been thinking if you would have set a boundary to not listen to non-Christian music. See, the thing is that many people ask, and I don't mind you asking, what is wrong with it? What is wrong with that? Why can't I do that? It's not about what I'm telling you to do is wrong or right. It's just that I'm trying to set a boundary so that you don't go too far and then realize I've got myself in a mess. And if I would have set a boundary a long time ago, I never would have ended up here. And see, we have a hard time setting boundaries because we don't want to tell our kids no. That's a problem. That's a problem. It's okay to set a boundary and tell someone, no, you're just not going to do that. No, we're going to set this boundary. We're going to have this boundary in your life because I know what's on the other side of that boundary. You don't see it right now because you're only 13 years old, but I'm telling you what's on the other side of that boundary because I've been there, done that, and I'm trying to set a boundary. So yes, it's okay to check your kids' phones and iPads and televisions, and I don't care what they have in that house. It don't belong to them anyway. It belongs to you. You're the one that bought the stuff. So yeah, go in there, check the stuff, and make sure they got the right music, and make sure they're doing that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. They can be up. I don't have to sneak in my kids' room to steal their phone to check it. I will walk right into that room, pick up the thing, and look at it. It's not I'm doing it out of mean. I'm doing it out of love. Because I'm trying to set a boundary in your life that you're not going to cross. And it's up to parents to make sure the kids stay in the boundary. And see, oftentimes we talk about not going to clubs and not going to parties and strip clubs and all type of perversion and all these things that we talk about on an adult level. Y'all hear me preach about that. I don't drink. I don't go to clubs. I don't do these things. But see, it starts with a boundary and your kids are in elementary, middle school, and high school. That's why we teach boundaries and say, well, you're not going to go to the school party. You're not going to go to the prom. You're not going to go to this dance. You're not going to go to anything that represents things where it can lead you to further things in the world. That's why parents, you got to set boundaries in your children's life so that they don't even ask me about the school dance. Why? Because that can lead to other things down the road. But you got to learn how to set boundaries in your life. It doesn't matter, because you need to understand, parents, that it is so important to get this deep down in your spirit so then you can teach your children. See, I'm telling you no now because I may open up a door that I'm going to wish I never opened. And see, many things are cute and fun and innocent, but you need to understand, a five-year-old doesn't wake up one day and say, I want to be an alcoholic. A five-year-old doesn't wake up one day and say, I want to be addicted to marijuana. No, they start very small with something cute and innocent, with a cigarette in their mouth that's not even lit. You better believe when they become 10, 12 years old, that cigarette's going to be lit one day, and now they're smoking 5 packs a day. Parents, I hope you're hearing me in here. You need to set boundaries in your children's life. And as young adults, and those of you that are a little bit older, set your own boundaries. Say that you're not going to do these things and not go there. Why? Because we need to have holiness in our life and not leave holiness and take out the power and the miracles. And so you have to set boundaries in your life. And so music is a very important instrument. And that's why even the movies that is watched in your household, you need to make sure, or if they go to the movies, whatever your boundaries are. See, it's important to understand that as a preacher, I'm going to set boundaries. But as parents in your home, you've got to set your own boundaries. Because then it's not, I'm doing this because the preacher told me to do it. I'm doing this because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to learn how to serve the Lord in your own household, because there's certain boundaries that my parents set in our household growing up that now as I'm older, I abide by some of those boundaries. Others I don't abide by, but I have my own boundaries in my own life. Why is that? Because I had a mother and father that set boundaries in my life. And so that, you know, there's things that when it comes to movies, they shouldn't just be watching anything and everything. When you letting profanity and sexual perversion and all that stuff through the TV, well, you just letting it into the system, you're letting it into their body. So while you're allowing to watch certain things that is going into them, you better watch some of these movies that are out there that are rated PG and G. I'm telling you, G is now PG. PG is now R, praise God. And R is just, you better pray. Amen. And so you better be very careful. That's why every movie, you should watch the movie before your children watch the movie. Mm-hmm. See, you just playing the trailer and think the trailer's okay. Don't you know they know that? They have hidden agendas where they're not going to give you everything in that trailer. Once they hit play on that movie, next thing you know, sex is popping up, nakedness is popping up, all this is popping up that they didn't show you in that trailer. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you need to make sure that you have boundaries and you set these boundaries in everything that you do. Why? Because what did Romans 12:1 say? Please put that back up on the screen. He says, I beseech you, or I beg you by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Everybody say your body. A living sacrifice. It's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you're supposed to set boundaries. Okay. Set boundaries. So set a boundary when it comes to dances and parties, even when they're in school. So then you don't open up a door so that when they get out of school, well, what's wrong with that house party that's going to be on campus? See, as parents, we need to understand that. And it's a problem if we have parents that don't understand that. We need to understand that, okay? Set a boundary when it comes to music. Set a boundary when it comes to movies. Set a boundary when it comes to the things that you're allowing into your household, into your children's life. Set that boundary. Then explain to your children, this is the boundary we're going to set, because I don't want to open up a door for you that 5 years from now, I've opened it up and I wish I, every parent in here should say I. Yes, we open up doors to our children. We do those things. We can't blame some of our children for some of the things they are walking into because we opened up that door. We did that. We opened up. So you have to be very careful for what you do, what you allow to do, where you go, everything like that, okay? Because when you open up a door, even if it's just crack, children will go through that crack. Amen. They'll walk right through that crack. And so it is important. Why? Because sometimes it's not about what can happen at the event, but what can happen after that event. Mm-hmm. It's not about what can happen there. What's wrong with over there? What's wrong with here? What's wrong with going there? No, I know what can happen after that event. I know what can take place in a vehicle. I know what can take place from there to the hotel. I know what can take place from there back home. I know what can take place. So we're just going to set a boundary to make sure that everything's okay, that I'm protecting you. And so that's why boundaries are so important. Everyone say, my body. It says it's holy and acceptable unto who? Notice it's holy and acceptable unto God. If everyone in here can get the understanding that you are holy and acceptable, not to your pastor. You're holy and acceptable, not to Star City Church. You're holy and acceptable, not to the elders of this church, but you're holy and acceptable unto God. Some of you in here need to raise your mindset when it comes to how you live. Some of you are only living to please your parents and to please your pastor or to please your friend. You need to live to please God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, if you live to please God, if you're holy and acceptable, then you won't comment people when they do things to their body that are not holy and acceptable unto God. What are you talking about, preacher? Like tattoos. I never comment somebody and say, you have a great tattoo. I never say that. Why do you never say that, Pastor? Because they are doing something to their body that God said, don't do it. So why would I comment on someone's tattoo? Because now I am, the Bible says, do not strengthen the hand of the evildoer. It's in Jeremiah. Go look that up. Okay? Do not strengthen the hand of the evildoer. And so why would I comment on something that they're doing to themselves? Can you prove that in the Bible, preacher? Thank you for asking. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 28. Y'all know I like Bible. It says, you should not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. So I don't care if grandma passed away. I don't care if mama passed away. I don't care if your favorite cousin passed away. You do not put an image of them. You don't put their name. You don't put their date of birth. You don't put their date of death. You don't put a scripture in honor of them. You don't put any of that on your body. And just for clear, it says, nor print any marks upon you. Who said that? God. God said it. God said it. So then therefore, if you have tattoos, that's your last tattoo. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. We go have a last tattoo party in here tonight. Come on, somebody. Last tattoo party. Praise God. I'm not getting another one from this day forward. I'm not getting another one from this day forward, because some of you in here, some of you watching near and far, have thought about, you know, getting them redone because they're starting to fade. Let them fade, baby. Let them fade. Mm-hmm. Let them fade. So then therefore, I don't comment. I don't put my baby on there. You know, if you lost a child, I don't put nothing. I don't put hearts on my toes. I don't put clovers on my back. I don't put a butterfly on my shoulder. Amen. Yeah. Social media will tear you up if you allow things. Oh, that's cute, girl. That's cute, man. You know, you got something. You got Thug Life across your chest. Brother Kyle, you better not do that. Right? Praise God. First Corinthians chapter number 6. Look what it says. It says, flee fornication. Everybody say, run. Run from fornication. Fornication is just not intercourse. You need to understand that. You need to look up that word, fornication. Fornication is sexual immorality. So that is any type of sexual immorality. You are to run from it. Run from it. And see, we live in a generation now, a generation. Notice I said generation. I'm talking about older folks and younger folks are all caught up in, well, we didn't have sex. We just gave each other oral sex. That is fornication. That is sin. That will send you to hell. He said, run from it. Run from it. You better be like Joseph. That woman said, lie with me. Lie with me. Come on, Joseph, lie with me. He ran from fornication. I would rather you run out of a house butt naked than to be laying in a bed butt naked committing fornication. Woo! All right, I can't say those words. Run. Then he says what? Every sin that what? That a man doeth is where? But he that committed fornication sinneth against what? Somebody say, I did that to myself. No. Y'all didn't say that. Say, I did it to myself. Mm-hmm. Come on. Touch yourself and say, I did that to myself. Yeah, you did it to yourself. Don't blame that on alcohol. Don't blame that. I forgot what I did last night. Don't blame that on I was pressured into it. Well, that's a problem. Then that's rape, and we need to take care of that. Don't say it was this or this pill or whatever. Mm-mm. That somebody did something that was wrong. Then we need to report that. But otherwise, you did it to yourself. He said, run from it. But look what he says in verse number 20. Go to verse number 20. For you are bought with a price, right? Verse number 19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Someone say, I don't own my body. You don't own it. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God where? Someone say, in your body. That's the outside. Someone say, in the spirit. That means the inside. So you're to honor God outside and inside. Now, if you see that, say amen. It says honor God, body, spirit, outside, inside. You are to honor God. Outside, inside, my body belongs to him. Outside, inside, it's there. So therefore, I set boundaries for myself where? Outside and inside. What are my inside boundaries? I pray, I worship, I read my word, I make sure I'm in the house of God whenever I can, because I'm setting a boundary. I wake up every day and I pray and I make sure I consecrate myself for the Lord. I do those things because I'm setting spiritual boundaries for my inner man to grow strong. Then my outside man, I set boundaries for that. Everyone see that? That's all right there in the scripture. He says outside, inside, your body and your spirit. So it is important to honor God. Everyone say, I'm glorifying God. Why do we glorify God? Because it is important that we have the glory of God, and we must have the law, which they did not want to take. They only wanted the power and the miracles. And so when you understand that, when you glorify God, then there's a separation between you and everyone else. Matter of fact, there's a separation between man and women. There's gender distinction when you honor God. There's separation when you honor God. Matter of fact, the Bible even instructs us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 14. It says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame? Everyone say it's a shame. I never have to worry about that. Praise God. For the rest of my life, I never have to worry about shaming God. I thank the Lord for that. So you thought it was a curse to be bald. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Blessed unto the Lord. I never have to shame God. So we don't allow our hair to grow long. It says even nature teaches you that. See, no one ever breaks down this word. No one ever explains. What does it mean by nature? Well, what is nature? Nature is trees, grass, flowers, weeds. That's nature. Nature is not animals. Animals live in nature. So don't ever come up to me and say, well, a lion, a male lion has long hair. That's not nature. Go study science somewhere. It's not nature. Animals live in nature. Nature is grass, trees, things like that. And when the grass starts to grow, what do? You cut it. Because if you don't cut it, your neighbor's going to get mad at you for not cutting your grass. That's the biggest peer pressure out there. I'll tell you, I can't stand neighborhoods. They pressure you. Cut your grass every week. If you don't cut your grass every week, you a heathen. My Lord. Amen? Nature teaches you to keep it trim. He says, does not even nature teach you that when your grass start growing, you just cut it? You don't let it just keep on growing. Amen? And it's saying, men, you shouldn't be having long hair. Just cut it, just like you do your grass. And if this tree out here was to get too long and these limbs started to grow into the church, if those limbs started to come into the windows and into the, what do you call them things that catch the leaves? The gutters. I'm a preacher, not a landscaper, praise God. What you gonna do with those branches? So that means nature teaches you when something gets in the way. I shouldn't see no man. What you flicking your head around for? Amen. Mm-hmm. That means it's in the way. It's obstructing. And nature teaches you when something obstructs, you cut that. I ain't getting an amen in here, but I amen myself. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But it says, but in verse number 15, what does it say? But if a woman have long hair, it's what? Everyone say glory. Glory. It's a glory to her. It's a good thing for a woman to have long hair. Why? Because the Bible teaches boundaries. It teaches gender distinction. It teaches separation. So it's important because it's given her for a covering. And so gender distinction is all throughout the book, and that's why the Bible sets boundaries. Why? Because my body is a living sacrifice. I want to be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And that's why it teaches us that a man should not wear anything that pertains to a woman. Woman shouldn't be putting on woman's garment. Where's that scripture found at? Where's that scripture found at? Deuteronomy, you're close. It's not 25, 22. Praise God, you know your Bible, sister. Deuteronomy 22 and 5, that's where it's found. It says, the woman should not wear anything, should not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so, everyone say all. Everyone that does it, God hates it. That's what abomination means. God hates it. And if I wanted to become a woman, if I wanted to look like a woman, act like a woman, what I'm going to do? I'm going to let my hair grow. Can't do that. Praise God. I'm going to put on a dress. I'm going to put on some heels. I'm going to put on all type of makeup on my face. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff to look like a woman. And then the same thing. Same thing goes for a woman. If a woman to emulate a man and wants to be like a man, what does she do? She will chop off her hair. She'll put on pants. She'll wear everything that emulates masculinity. And that's why there should be gender distinction. And that's why we encourage our women to be women. And that's why we encourage our men to be men, because there should be gender distinction. I want you to know something here. Our church has fought this for decades, decades, decades. There are people in here, older people, even all the way down to even my sister's generation. My sister would be teased all the time. Why are you wearing dresses? Why are you wearing skirts? Why are you doing this? Why? Because she would be the only apostolic in her school. My sister, she would just look at him and say, well, why you wear pants all the time then? She didn't know how to come back at certain things. But she knew that there should be gender distinction, and I'm going to be holy unto the Lord because I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please him. So here, let me preach this. So men, if you have women that are attempting and trying to be holy, you better love them. You better appreciate them. You better tell them they look wonderful. They look beautiful. They're modest. They're covering themselves. They got dresses on. They're looking like a woman. You better say, thank you, Jesus, for a holy woman of God. Hear me now. Don't you be turning your head looking at some woman that's got her chest all out, bottom all out, showing everything. You looking at that woman walking by. Shame on you for looking at somebody like that when you got a woman that's living holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Holy women are the best looking women on the planet. You don't need to show yourself to everybody just for get attention to everybody. You better be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Stay standing, Sister Natalie. Stay standing, Sister Cadence. Stay standing, Sister Lupe. I'm going to pick on y'all. Yeah. Because you're married, dating. And see, the thing is that your husband had to love you for who you were. And so it's important that y'all have men that love y'all for who y'all are. And a man shouldn't have to change you to say, well, won't you do this and slip that off and do it and wear that little bit title. No, my friend, I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God. And if no man will love you the way you look and the way you dress and how modest you are, you got the wrong man anyway. Amen. So if I had to choose, Sister Nicole, I'm going to choose holiness. If I got to choose, I'm going to choose separation. If I've got to choose, I'm going to choose holiness unto the Lord. That's right. Yeah. Praise God. Have a seat. Don't look at your watches. I'm going to keep preaching. Amen. Because I want you to understand something here, that the scripture says that you shouldn't wear anything that pertains to. So, well, they make women pants and they make women this and they make, it says it pertains to. That means it was originally made for this gender. It was originally made for this. What does it pertain to? And if it pertains to a man, I want to be holy. I want to be separate. I want to be acceptable unto the Lord. That's what I choose to do. And understand this now, Brother Ben, that it's culturally based, because every culture has different cultures as far as what they look like and what their women look like and what their man look like. But the word is kingdom based. So you can take the same word into every culture, and women are going to look like women and men are going to look like men. The same word applies. No matter if you're in North America or if you're in Asia, Europe, it doesn't matter. I should not walk down the street and say, is that a man or a woman? And now we live in a world that is proving this word right. They are fighting at state legislation about, can they have transgenders compete in sports? There was a man that he was a transgender woman, competed in a swim meet and beat everybody and was excited he won. And they celebrated him. They gave him great honor. So I heard this comedian. I'm going to get back on track. I heard this comedian. He said, can y'all believe that our world celebrated a man who's now considers himself a woman, who competed in a swimming competition, blew everybody out, and everybody says that's fair. He said, now, can you imagine if LeBron James, some of y'all know who LeBron James is, 6'8", 260-pound locomotive, one of the greatest players that ever played a game of basketball, all-time leading scorer in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, woke up one day and said, you know what? I want to be a woman. And you let him compete in the WNBA. End of story. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 33. Because here's the thing. What I'm teaching today, see, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. Either you're going to accept it or you're going to throw it away. But that's not my business. That's between you and God. Either you're going to go home today and say, you know what? I'm going to set boundaries in my life. I'm going to set boundaries in my home. Parents, I'm going to go home and set some boundaries in my home. I'm going to set boundaries in my own life. Young adults, living on your own, got apartments, you better set boundaries there. Because I'm telling you right now, every young adult that's between the age of 18 to that 30 age group, hear me and hear me well, that if you don't set boundaries in your life now, 10 years from now, you're going to find yourself in a place with God that you didn't think you would be, not feeling his spirit, not feeling his presence, wondering what happened in your life. And I'm telling you what happened. You didn't listen to a preacher on May the 3rd. I think today the 3rd. You didn't listen to a preacher in 2023, and now it's 2033, and you're wondering, where am I at in my life? Because there are too many adults that are thinking that way. Where have I missed it? It's because you never set boundaries in your life. It's up to you. And so people are going to love this, or they're going to hate it. He says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Verse number 34, he says, think not that I came to send peace on earth, but I came to send peace. I did not come to send peace, but I came to do what? A sword. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking here. He says, I came to send a sword. Look at verse number 35. Look what it says. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Ooh. And the daughter against his mother. Ooh. And the daughter-in-law against her mother. Ooh. That's why my mother-in-law and I don't click. It's Bible. No, that's not what the scripture's saying. Don't try to go home and say, no, the preacher said, I don't have to like you. No, don't be doing that. I came to have a sword against it. Why? Because when you accept Jesus, you accept holiness. And everybody in your household is not going to accept holiness. They might can like Jesus, but they don't like holiness. Why? Because they take the power, they take the miracle, but they'll leave the law. Am I making sense? And your foes, verse number 36, are going to be in your own, everyone say household. Your own household. They'll be right there in your house. Because mom, dad, husband, wife, you got to choose to serve Jesus on your own. And you're going to have husbands that don't want to serve him like you want to serve him. Mama, you better serve him. And you're going to have wives that don't want to serve him like you want to serve him. Husband, you better serve him. Don't let anyone in your household stop you from serving the Lord how you want to serve the Lord. And don't try to talk down to a spouse of yours that's not up to where you think they should be. You allow the Lord to work on their heart. You allow the Lord to keep working on your heart. Because that's a problem in the apostolic church. That's a problem in the apostolic home. Well, won't you come? Won't you do this? You know you need to do this. No, won't you just do it and you let the Lord work on him or her? You keep praying for that person. But you need to understand that no one is worth going to hell over. I am not giving up holiness for anybody. And that's why we set boundaries. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching anything to you, my dear sister, that I didn't preach to myself when I was your age. How old are you, Harley? 18? Okay, no. When I was 21, I was 3 years older. I was still a heathen at 18, praise God. When I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, Brother Carter, I set boundaries because I was in college. And I had to make sure I didn't go outside those boundaries, because if I went outside those boundaries, I was more likely to go right back to the world. And see, that's why some of you need to go home and check your wardrobe. Some of you need to go home and check your music list. Some of you need to go home and check your movie list. Some of you need to go home and check the things that you're allowing into your spiritual system. You are allowing it to your spiritual system. And it's so important to do it. Because if you had to choose, what are you going to choose? Do you want power? Do you want miracles? Or do you want glory? What's most important to you? Which one are you going to choose? It's important to understand that right here, because you're going to have to make that choice. Power, miracles. Let's go to 1 Kings, chapter number 8. I want you to read verse number 9 again, and then I want you to read verses 10 and 11. Okay? Go back to verse number 9, where it says there was nothing in the ark. Okay? Go ahead and read it.
There was nothing in the ark,
yep,
save the two tables of stone,
mm-hmm,
which Moses put there at Horeb.
Yep.
When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel,
uh-huh,
when they came out of the land of Egypt.
Yep. Now, verse number 10.
And it came to pass,
uh-huh,
when the priests were come out of the holy place,
yes,
that the cloud filled the house.
Wait
of
a
the
minute.
Lord.
Wait a minute, Kyle. Read it slowly now. I'm trying to help you. Read that Bible slow. What is going on right here? What just happened? The glory of the Lord just came into the house. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait, church. Think. How is their glory? Aaron's rod is gone. The pot of manna is gone. All they have is the law. That's all they have in the ark. Why is God honoring an incomplete Ark of the Covenant?
Oh my God.
Why would God honor something that is incomplete? How? Why? How could the glory come into the house of the Lord when all the items are not there? Because the most important item was there, and that was holiness. Because you cannot have glory without separation from the world. So if you had to choose, I choose holiness unto the Lord, because I want the presence of the Almighty God. And I wish I had a church in here. I wish I had parents in here that would say, I choose holiness. I choose holiness. You can take the power. You can take the miracles. But I want the holiness. And I want to tell somebody, if you've got the glory, you do have the power. You do have the miracles. But you cannot have the glory without the holiness. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Magnify the name of Jesus. Come on, clap those hands. Magnify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Read verse number 11. Verse number 11, what does it say?
So that the priest could not stand.
Couldn't even stand.
To minister.
Couldn't even stand to minister. Why?
Because of the cloud.
Because of the cloud. Why?
For the glory.
For the glory of the Lord. Did what?
Had filled.
It filled the house of the Lord. Star City, we must have glory. We must have glory. Because without the glory, there is no story. There will be no change. There will be nobody changed. But we need people come to Star City and leaving changed. And if we want the glory, we got to be holy. If you want the glory, you got to be separate. If you want the glory, you got to set boundaries. If you want parents, can I preach to parents? Parents, set boundaries, set boundaries, set boundaries in your household. Let them know this is what we do in our house, because this is who we serve. We want the glory of the Lord. If you believe that, clap your hands one more time. Magnify the name of Jesus.